The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
HD Smartcast.
You are listening to a Mint production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hello, welcome to our podcast, The Signal
and the Noise,
that will attempt to give you a peek into the inner workings of Mint's long story. This is Sunit.
And I am Ajay.
And we are both editors with Mint.
Every week, either one of us will attempt to walk you through the most defining development in the world of business, politics, or technology.
Let's dive in.
My guest today is Gautam Das, a colleague and national editor with Mint. In September, Gautam wrote a piece about the growing fatigue with work from home. He said both firms and employees are unhappy with work from home, and questioned whether the old office order will return post the pandemic. Now in February, he's again revisited it and examined how various companies are getting ready to go back to the office. What are the issues that it raises? So let's just start, Gautam. Welcome to The Signal and the Noise.
Good morning, Sunit. Glad to be here.
Let's start with the drivers. What are the drivers for a return to the office?
Fatigue is definitely one, but there's a demographic divide to the debate. It's the senior managers, the vice presidents, the presidents who are more fatigued than the younger crowd. Also, there's a need for senior managers to have people around them. They're bred on micromanagement in India. I think that that is a significant driver of why they want to be in office.
So, I mean, the key, of course, the underlying driver is that in many cities, barring Bombay, the pandemic has retreated and people are feeling somewhat more confident. In some cases, public transport is back, people are out on the roads. However, as you mentioned about the senior management wanting to get in, there's a sense that you talk about younger managers feeling reluctant. And what are the issues there?
I think generally they're comfortable working from home. They've gotten used to it. But the transportation system, even offices are not very sure of how the younger executives or younger professionals will reach office. There is public transport, of course, but everybody is aware that when local trains opened up in Mumbai on Feb 1, the cases have shot up since then. So it's not really a safe option, and not many of these younger professionals can afford cars. So I think there is a concern there. So the concern mainly is about getting exposed to the virus. Nothing more than that.
There's no secular trend with younger workers, though one hears of some people living in pokey flats with young children screaming and shouting and finding it tough to operate out of, home. There are some cases like that. So there is that category too, isn't there?
Yes, so there's a diminishing productivity that many people have noticed. And I wrote about that in September itself. So after 6 months of lockdown and working from home, productivity, which initially shot up because of the adrenaline rush, sort of started diminishing. And that's true. Many of the younger professionals in India stay in one or two bedroom flats, and they often share those flats either with family or friends. And therefore, there is little privacy when it comes to office work. That is something that's always been there, but I think people got used to it. People worked out of dining rooms. People worked out of mattresses in the bedroom. But they got used to it. But they also loved the fact that they don't have to be in office because they saved significant time and energy in travel, especially in cities like Mumbai, where you know the average travel could anywhere be 1.5 to 2 hours one way.
So now, even in your previous piece, and we keep on hearing about hybrid models and rotational systems. So as companies are opening up, particularly in the services sector, because manufacturing, as you wrote, has already opened up a long time ago. What are the models that we are looking at, and what will it mean for employees who, according to the Times of India today, are busy buying tiffins and various other shoes to get back to work? So what are the models that we are looking at here?
Clearly, the future of work is a blended model, which means that not 100% of the employees pre-pandemic would be back to offices. Companies are still sort of working out this maths, but they would probably have employees on a rotational basis. And there would be a certain category of employees that would permanently work from home. For instance, in IT companies, developers can easily work from home. They're also the younger demographic that I was talking about. But senior managers would be in office, right? So there are different blended models that people are experimenting with. But this is really bad news for office real estate developers because, you know, the office as we know it or as we knew it is dead.
Right. The real estate angle, of course, is playing out. But I had a more tactile question right now. Can companies force workers to take the vaccine and only then return to work? This debate is going on, I'm told.
Legally, no, because it's completely voluntary. But yeah, legally companies can't force employees, but they can of course make it clear that if you don't have the vaccine, you can't be in office. You continue to work from home.
So that itself would, given the slow pace of which vaccines are being kind of jabbed in India, that itself could take time. So there would have to be a middle ground there. Now, I'll move on to another concern that younger employees and employees in general have raised about what companies need to do about air conditioning and retrofitting their own offices. What did you pick up here?
Well, very few offices are retrofitting, stuff like UV filters. As of now, they are...
Which are used in air conditioning systems, just to clarify.
Yes. Essentially, these are viral and bacterial filters that you put. That's one part. I think some of the larger office developers are doing that in their common areas. But, offices, space is leased, right? And companies have to do it on their own. But common areas, large developers are, of course, doing that. But I think what companies are right now focused on is re-architecting their floors to make sure, there are social distancing norms are followed, etc.
So there's
the ideal situation, Sunit, is if you can keep windows open, so there's free flow of air, right? But that doesn't work in many of these offices. In fact, many of these offices can't even probably open their windows.
Also, at 40 degrees plus, it's going to be a little problematic there. So you do need some form of air conditioning, but it needs to be retrofitted. And who will bear that cost? And there are issues there, clearly, which India Inc. has to tackle. I'm coming back to your observation about the impact on real estate. If the office is changing as we know it, and until, there's clarity on complete vaccine rollout, what will companies do with their existing real estate, and how will real estate developers fare?
A lot of companies have already rationalized their real estate, which means they have given them up or they're consolidating offices. And this is an ongoing process because of the blended model that companies are working out. They might further rationalization is in store going ahead. This is not really very encouraging news for real estate developers, of course, but the bigger, larger developers who can make those investments in better filtration systems, better quality of indoor air, stand to benefit here. But we are still some distance away from when offices are going to be full.
Great. Thanks, Gautam. I mean, I'm sure you and I have already met in office a few times, and we will grab lunch one of these days. Thanks for your inputs, and catch up soon.
Absolutely. Pleasure talking to you.
You have been listening to The Signal and the Noise. We would love to hear from you. Reach out to us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram on @HTSmartcast.
Or you can also reach out to us personally at Sunita Arora
and @AJAxiom. To listen to more such interesting podcasts, do log on to htsmartcast.com.
We'll be back next week with a new story, another fresh voice, or a unique take on the world.
Do stay well until then, and keep supporting good journalism.
This was a Mint production brought to you by HT Smartcast.
HT Smartcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.